Thank you for joining me again today. Tomorrow on God Is, we will begin a brand new series answering the question, where does God come from? This is a very intriguing and important question that many people ask. It's a valid inquiry that comes up after just the first four words in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God." Yes, but where did God come from? Please invite someone you know, a friend, a family member, a colleague, someone you've met recently, another resident in your apartment building to join you beginning tomorrow as we talk about this question, where does God come from? I promise you it'll be interesting and practically helpful to everyone who tunes in. Today, let's complete our very short look at Psalm 27, verses 4 through 5. I'll read the text for us again. This is David writing in Psalm 27, verses 4 through 5. "One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock." And yesterday I directed you to David's opening phrase, "one thing." And I said that David's one thing is to be consumed by God, and that he will be consumed by God in three ways. One, by intentionally living in God's presence. Two, he will be consumed by the Lord because he looks at God. And three, David will be consumed by God because David always inquires of the Lord. We talked about the first of these three last time. Today, let's move forward to the second one. David says he will be consumed by the Lord because he looks at God. Listen to Psalm 27, verse 4, "to behold the beauty of the Lord." How does he know the Lord is beautiful? David looks at God. And when we look to God, we all see his majestic beauty. But how do we look at God? God is an invisible spirit that we cannot see with our own two eyes. Neither could King David. But David had what all Christians at present have, the gift of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. These twin gifts enable the man and woman of God to behold his beauty. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are the gifts of God for the people of God, and that is how we see the Lord. The word translated here, beauty, is literally delightfulness. The Lord is delightful. He is beautiful. Nothing and no one compares to him. And when God consumes us, it is because we have beheld the beauty of the Lord. Let me give you this analogy. In Boston, there is the Museum of Fine Arts. It's one of the finest art museums in the entire world. And inside that building, someone who has a genuine appreciation for the world's most talented artists can go and spend days just staring at what is hanging on the walls. A connoisseur of art beholds the pure beauty of what he or she sees at the Museum of Fine Arts. Well, on a much grander scale, the worshiper of the one true God can spend hours, days, and a lifetime staring at the beauty of God. Using the gifts of God, his Spirit and his Word, we have a picture of our God that's stunning. How about you today? Are you reading the Bible, and as you read, are you submitting yourself openly to the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to guide you through the pages that reflect the grandeur of God? That's what David did. He knew it was the key to being consumed by God, which was his one thing. Yes, the beauty of the world is reflected in God's creation. Get outside and take a look around today. But I submit to you the most awesome picture of his beauty is right here in the Bible. How do we know what God looks like? Our mind's eye captures his brilliance as we read this ancient but extraordinarily relevant book. In this psalm, David invites us to behold the beauty of the Lord. And now we come to the third and final way in which David will achieve his one thing. David will be consumed by God because David always inquires of the Lord. Look at or listen again to verse 4. This is still Psalm 27 in verse 4. "And to meditate in his temple." Notice the word meditate here. This word is better translated inquires. We can read it, "and to inquire in his temple." The Lord's temple is the place where his presence, his glory appeared to the ancient Israelites, like David. And so David goes to the temple to meditate, really to inquire of the Lord. Inquiry, seeking the Lord, asking the Lord questions. These are all part of being consumed by God. We ask and he answers us. How remarkable is that? And when you read the life of David, and particularly the Psalms that he wrote, you will quickly understand that David often seeks the Lord's wisdom by asking penetrating questions. For example, another psalm that means a lot to me, and perhaps to you, is Psalm 13. Psalm 13 deals with a question that many of us ask God. How long? Let me just read the opening two verses of Psalm 13. Listen for the inquiry. Listen for the questions. This is Psalm 13, a psalm of David. How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Speaking of the question, how long? Let me ask you, how long has it been since you spent time with the Lord talking to him, meditating on him, thinking about him, and asking him meaningful questions? Has it been a short time, a long time, maybe even never? I know many Christians who have never learned how to kneel quietly before the Lord and inquire of him. And of course, if you are not a believer, then you have likely never inquired of God. And neither David in Psalm 27 or me today are talking about some sort of cold, detached, asking for a friend, or academic and even theological questioning of God. What David did, what we should do, is to bring the burdens of our hearts and minds to Jehovah and meditate on these questions with him. For example, back to Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? Maybe you feel that God is distant from you. He seems quiet and far off. You feel all alone. Trouble is mounting for you and you need his help, his assistance. Well, then let me invite you to do what David did. Make it your one thing to be consumed by God and meditate in his temple. Inquire of the Lord. Meditation and inquiry takes time, and I believe it takes silence and solitude. You're not going to meditate on the Lord in the temple of your TV room or with music blasting or while you simultaneously check your Facebook and text message friends. No, God speaks in the silence. God talks to you by his Spirit in your solitude. So get alone, be quiet, think, meditate, inquire. Do this one thing today. Whatever you do, do this. David's one thing is to be consumed by God. David wants to be consumed by the living and almighty God, and he writes about how he will do that. First, David will be consumed by God by intentionally living in his presence. Second, he will be consumed by the Lord because he looks at God. And third, David will be consumed by God because David always inquires of the Lord. Now let's briefly look at verse 5. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. I see each of these three realities being the result of what David does in verse 4. Stick with me now and listen for the connections. In verse 4, David intentionally lives in the presence of God. And in verse 5, when David is in trouble, God conceals David in God's tabernacle. When David is in the presence of God, David is in God's tabernacle. Therefore, David is concealed. David is hidden within God when trouble comes. In verse 4, David looks at God. And in verse 5, God hides David in God's secret place, his tent. Well, where does David behold the beauty of the Lord? He looks at God. He beholds his beauty where God is. This is where the imagery of the heavenly tent, mirrored by the earthly tent where the presence and beauty of the Lord fell on the ancient Israelites, meet. David looks at God, and God hides David in God's secret place. This is awesome. David and God are together. And then in verse 4, David inquires of the Lord. And in verse 5, God lifts David up on a rock. Absolutely. This makes perfect sense. Verse 5 is the result of verse 4. The rock is a place of stability. When we inquire of the Lord, when we meditate on Him, we often do so out of a place of instability, of questioning, of being so unsure. But look what God does. God lifts us up on a rock. He stabilizes us and He answers us. Oh, today, my friends, God will stabilize your life and He will answer you. Verse 5 is the result of verse 4. David's one thing is to be consumed by God, and he reaches this one thing by intentionally living in God's presence. He will be consumed by the Lord because he looks at God, and David will be consumed by God because David always inquires of the Lord. The results are David is concealed within God's tabernacle. David is hidden in the secret place of God's tent, and David is lifted up on a rock. Wow, how awesome is this? Now, we've gone through these two verses in Psalm 27 rather quickly. If you'd like to hear this again, it's easy to do. Just download the podcast free of charge from the WEZE website. That's 590amtheword.com. At the top of the page, click More and then Podcast. And God is will be there. Invest some time tonight reflecting on Psalm 27 with me and share this podcast with a friend. Let's give thanks to God for this psalm and let's follow our older brother in the faith, David, by practicing what he did in order to achieve his one thing, being consumed by God. David's one thing ought to really be our one thing also, be consumed by God. And remember, tomorrow, be right back here with me as I begin a brand new series asking and answering this question. Where does God come from? We will begin at the beginning, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, and then we'll go from there. Invite someone to listen with you, and then join me again tomorrow, for God is...